بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد ان سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى اله واصحابه ومن تبعهم ودعا بدعوتهم الى يوم الدين. وعن ابي هريره رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الناس معادنك معادن الذهب والفضة، خيارهم في الجاهلية خيارهم في الإسلام إذا فقهوا. رواه مسلم. الحمد لله الله عز وجل هي هدينا التوفيق تو لندي حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The way Muslims are required to learn the Quran, Muslims are also required to learn the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have more or less understood the importance of learning at least the words of the Quran. That's why wherever you go in the masajid, you have makatib of the Quran, so the children, they go and they learn how to recite the Quran. Although that is the first step, and that should have continued, that once you have learned how to recite the Quran, people should also learn the meaning of the Quran, and then learn how to apply that knowledge into their lives. But somehow it is very unfortunate that we have not learned the importance of learning the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is very rare that you will see people learning from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or having the children learn the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the maximum people would do is that they would let their children memorize short hadith, short 40 hadith, especially what they do in the madrasa, in the maktab. So they think that they have done their duty. So usually in the madaris, in the makatib, you would have 40 basic hadith, and people think that they have learned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in fact, learning the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is learning the Quran. And learning the hadith is as important as learning the Quran. In the past, even people who were busy, and even people who were elite, the people from who have power, who are busy with governance, with leadership, they also used to show interest in learning the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is mentioned about in the life of Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah. One day the governor of Basra, you have the famous city Baghdad, which was the capital of Iraq, and you have Kufa and you have Basra. Kufa, these are new colonies the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they established. So these places, they became the centers of knowledge. The governor of Basra, one day he knocked the door. So the servant, she saw the governor of Basra is at the door. So she informed Imam Abu Dawud that the governor is here, Amir is here. He said, let him in. So he came. So he said, how can I help you? So the governor, he said, well, I came with three requests. I came with three requests. The first request I have is that, you are here in Baghdad, but I want you to move to Basra, so that Basra can become city of learning, city of knowledge. Imam Abu Dawud, he remained silent, he did not reply. He said, what is the next request? Because he would like to hear all the requests first. What is the next? He said, I want you to teach your Sunan, the famous collection of a hadith of Imam Abu Dawud himself. He said, okay, what is the third one? He said, I want you to teach my children in privacy. that you teach only my children, because the Aimma, they used to narrate the ahadith. Obviously at the moment we don't have a narrating session, we just have a learning session of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in the early period of Islam, learning would also include the narration of the hadith. So you learn all the chain of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that was a big big honor, and also that will add to your portfolio. If you say I know 500 ahadith, that is a big achievement. If you say I know 1,000 ahadith, I know 10,000 ahadith, then people know, mashallah, you have something. Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah, he said, the first two requests I would accept. If you want me to come to Basra, inshallah, no problem, I can move to Basra. Because, you know, whether you sit in Baghdad and narrate the hadith, or you go to Basra and stay in Basra and narrate the hadith, it doesn't matter. If there is a need over there, I can move to Basra. And whoever wants to learn, they can come. If you want me to teach the Sunan, narrate the Sunan, inshallah, I can also do that. The two requests are accepted. However, the third request is to teach your children only, that is not acceptable. That I cannot accept. Because ilm is for everybody. An-nasu fil ilmi sawa. An-nasu fil ilmi sawa. All people are equal in knowledge. You are a man, you are a woman, you are young, you are old, you are very wealthy, you are very poor. Everybody has the right to have ilm. That's why in Islam, ilm is a universal right. Knowledge is a universal right. Everybody should have access to knowledge. And knowledge should not be conditional. That you have money, you can gain knowledge. You don't have money, you cannot have knowledge. It is not like that. Everybody should have access to knowledge. That's why even people who were busy at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to make arrangements to attend the halaqat of ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if there are two brothers, one would attend one day, and his brother, he would go and work. And the next day he will attend, and this person will go and work. And whatever he missed, he will share. So if A attended, he will learn, he will teach the B. If B attended, he will teach A. Where there is a will, there is a way. If you want to do something, there is always a way. So anyway, I was saying that this is a great honor that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us tawfiq to learn from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq to do shukr. Last week, we learned the hadith, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمٌ وَاللَّهُ يُعْطِي. Whomever Allah wills good for, Allah will give him understanding of deen. If Allah wants to have you some good, well, the best gift Allah will give you is understanding of deen. You know, if you love somebody, you're going to give him something. So you will give him something according to your status and according to his need. And the best gift of Allah Azza wa Jalla is the understanding of deen. وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمٌ وَاللَّهُ يُعْطِي. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, indeed I am a distributor. I'm a distributor. Nowadays you have sole distributors. That this product can only be distributed by this person. So if you want to have that product, you cannot go anywhere else. You only have one person whom you can approach. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the Qasim al-Ilm. He is the distributor of the knowledge. So if you want to gain knowledge, the only door is the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahu yu'ti, and Allah gives. I'm a distributor, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is humble. So he's saying, you know, I'm not giving from my own. Whatever Allah gave me, I'm giving it to you. So it is Allah Azza wa Jal who gives. At the time of Eid, you have candies. So somebody distributes candies. So the person who distributes candies, you go and get candies from him. If you go and queue somewhere else, can you get candies? No. Somebody is distributing candies, you go and get candies from there. So ilm and knowledge is from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We read the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "An-nasu ma'adinuka ma'adin al-dhahabi wal-fidda." People, their minds. People are minds. Like the mines of gold and silver. People are minds like the mines of gold and silver. You go to a piece of land somewhere. You might be walking so many times. Even you might build a house there. You might have a farmhouse there. But you never know what is hidden inside. You know, if you have luck, you might have a well hiding underneath. You might have a well of petrol. You might have a mine of gold. You never know. You might have silver. Sometimes you might have diamonds. I was told that in Canada there are mines of diamonds. And some of the best diamonds are from Canada. Obviously, Chicago is a good place. So don't go anywhere. Stay here. Chicago is a good place. So there are mines. النَّاسُ مَعَادِنُكَ مَعَادِنِ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, people are mines, like the mines of gold and silver. What is a mine? A mine is basically a treasure which is hidden. Treasure which is hidden. You will not know the value of it unless you discover. The person who has discovered, he would know the value and he can benefit from that mine. There is something more important nowadays. More important than the gold and silver, which is the material which is used for making the screens, mobile phone screens. And subhanAllah, this is Allah's distribution, that even for that, Saudi Arabia is one of the best places. So Saudi Arabia does not only have the mines of petrol. You have petrol, you have gas, you have gold, and you also have that material which is used for making the screens of mobile phones. النَّاسُ مَعَادِنُكَ مَعَادِنِ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. People are mines like the mines of gold and silver. People have so many good qualities. The way mine is hidden, people are also hidden. They have so many good qualities. You will not know these good qualities unless you discover them. Unless you dig and find out. So if you value people, if you appreciate people, if you give them an opportunity to express themselves, if you give them a platform where they can show what is hidden inside them, then you can find out the gold which is inside and the silver which is inside. Otherwise, if you say everybody is bad, well, if everybody is bad, you can never benefit from them. And you can never allow them to benefit you as well. You appreciate people, you have a positive look, you will get something positive. If you are negative, you will get nothing. In Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has always encouraged us to remain positive. Allah Azza wa Jal said, "Asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum." It might be you dislike something while it is better for you. Even something which looks very negative. You're a human being. You feel sad, you feel upset. That is normal, that is natural. Okay, for a little while you feel sad, you feel upset, that is fine. But then you divert your mind towards the positive message. asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum. It might be that you dislike something while it is better for you. It looks very negative, but something good might come out of it. In fact, many positives, they come out of negatives. You will not know until that positive comes out. But because we don't have the knowledge of the future, we are only looking at the negative which is right now in front of us. But somehow if you can foresee the future, you will see that positive which is in the pipeline, which is going to come out. Many things, many people have experience. May Allah forbid, sometimes some people have accidents. Some people have injuries sometimes. Some people lose money, for example. Some people have loss in their business, for example. Some people have so many tragedies in their lives. But then, if they remain hopeful and if they remain faithful to Allah Azza wa Jal, then there is something that comes out. And they themselves will realize, subhanAllah, if that had not happened, this would not have come out. Likewise, people are gold and silver. But you have to dig. You have to make some effort in order to discover the gold which is inside. Gold, it cannot be obtained easily. If it was that easy, then everybody would have gold in their pockets. You have to make a lot of effort. And sometimes, you make a lot of effort, and before you reach, you get tired. And you say, I'm exhausted now. I cannot do anymore. Well, just 1 meter left. Just few feet left. If you remain a little more patient, you would have discovered the gold, you would have discovered the silver. Now look at the beauty of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An-nasu ma'adinu ka ma'adin al-dhahabi wal-fidda. People are mines like the mines of gold and silver. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very fair. So he is not saying Muslims are mines. He did not say that. Muslims are good people. Or believers are mines of gold and silver. No. An-nasu ma'adin. All people are mines. There is good inbuilt in everybody. There is good hidden inside everybody. Now it is up to you how you want to value them, how you want to discover them, how you want to appreciate them. Even people who are not Muslims, they are Allah's creation. It is Allah who created them. They haven't created themselves. Nobody else has created them. هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِي. This is Allah's creation. Show me if somebody else has created anything. All the people, white, black, brown, people from Asia, people from Europe, people from Africa, people, who are poor, people who are rich. All of them, they're Allah's creation. And they're the gold and silver. They are mines of gold and silver. So even non-Muslims, they are mines of gold and silver. Now, there is no one who can appreciate human being like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. خِيَارُهُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُهُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ لَا فَقِهُوا. The best among them in the days of Jahiliyyah, in the days of pre-Islamic period, in the days of ignorance, are the best among them in Islam. إِذَا فَقِهُوا, when they have understanding. So people who have good qualities, people who are gold and silver in Jahiliyyah, they will also be gold and silver in Islam. Meaning, if somebody comes to Islam, he will come with the baggage. He is a human being, he has certain qualities. Now somehow, if you can value him, if you can appreciate him, if you can know his status in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal, when he comes to Islam, he will bring those qualities into Islam. إِذَا فَقِهُ, as long as he has understanding. If he has understanding, then these qualities, they will be shined. They will be polished. They will be refined. And these qualities, the beauty of it, will be multiplied. In other words, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he encouraged us not only to appreciate believers and Muslims, but also to appreciate any human being. One of the good things we see the brothers who go in Tabligh, when they go and meet with other Muslims, they try to express their good qualities. MashaAllah, you know, he is a such and such brother. So even if he has 99, you know, evil qualities, if there is one good quality, you highlight that good quality. Is that right? Even if that person has one good thing, you talk about that good thing, because 99 bad things, we are not interested. We are interested in gold and silver. We want to have gold. We want to have silver. النَّاسُ مَعَادِنُكَ مَعَادِنِ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ People are mines, like the mine of gold and silver. So I'm interested in that good quality. The bad quality, I'm not interested. So I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to highlight it. That's the good thing. But unfortunately, what happens is that when we are interested in bringing somebody to the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, we are highlighting his good quality. But once people are already in, once you have brought somebody to the masjid, say somebody was away from the masjid, you have brought him to the masjid. Somebody was not praying, now mashallah you have encouraged him and he started praying. Somebody was not attending any halaqa of ilm, any places of knowledge, now mashallah he started coming to the halaqat of ilm, he started sitting with ulama. You have done a good job and now you have brought him in. Now once somebody comes in, people forget that responsibility to highlight his positive qualities and still to appreciate the good which is inside. Now people look at his negative qualities. People look at his shortcomings. Oh, he is not doing that. He was coming every single day. One day he did not attend on the other day. We had a big ishtima, we had a big gathering, he did not come. We had the Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, I was not interested in my prayer. I was interested in seeing who is coming and who is not coming. Well, Laylatul Qadr, mind your own business. Allah has given you Laylatul Qadr so that you establish that relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah did not give you a register. Allah did not appoint you to take the attendance of the people who have come and who have not come. People who have come, alhamdulillah, that's good. People who have not come, somehow, if you happen to have noticed without you observing them, no problem. You can find out if they're not well, you know, if something is needed, if they are, you know, in need of any help, okay. But you're not responsible to, you know, leave your own salah, leave your own tawbah, leave your own istighfar, leave your own qiyam at night, and find out who has donated on Laylatul Qadr and who has not donated on Laylatul Qadr. If somebody has donated, it's good for them. If somebody has participated in the fundraising on Laylatul Qadr, that is good for them. Somebody did not, that's, you know, their own problem. So once somebody comes in, we forget that we have to highlight the good qualities. And we think that we only have to highlight the negative and the weaknesses. Well, every human being has a weakness. كُلُّ بَرِي آدَ الْخَطَّى Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, all the children of Adam, they make mistakes. In fact, khata, they make lots of mistakes. They make lots of mistakes, not one or two mistakes. Sometimes people get frustrated if the children make mistakes. I am a very angry person. People, they think that you can be proud of you being angry. So they describe themselves, I'm a very angry person. Well, I cannot control myself. Many people told me, may Allah forgive me. Unfortunately, we have to deal with these things. So people tell us. Many people told me that they cannot sit with their children for 5 minutes to teach their children. Many people told me that they cannot sit with their children for 5 minutes. They say, well, I cannot have patience with my children. If they make a mistake, I get angry. A'udhu billah. Is that a good quality you are being proud of? You go and work in the supermarket for 8 hours. How much patience you have? Somebody says, I want that thing from the top shelf. Right? If your hand cannot reach there, you will go and look for the ladder. It might be a big superstore. The ladder might be at the other end of the superstore. You go and walk over there. You bring the ladder. You go up and you bring that thing down and you show to this lady. She would say, yeah, thank you so much. I don't like it. You have spent 10-15 minutes, but still you have to remain patient. Subhanallah, for $5, you know, I don't know how much money people make in 5 minutes. In 15 minutes, how much money you make, I don't know. But say, you know, if you distribute that money, which is given per hour, if you distribute that for 15 minutes, I don't know how much is, whatever, $10, $20, $100. For $100, you have that much patience. For a few dollars here and there, you have a lot of patience. You can smile, you can... if hugging was allowed, you might have hugged. But unfortunately, hugging, neither it is in Sharia nor it is in law. In some countries, it is a culture to kiss. But in Islam, you know, you don't have either of them. But people can have patience for so much money, you know, which is so little. But with their own children, they cannot have patience. And they say, I get angry. So people, they you know, they get frustrated. And they say, I don't know what to do. Well, this is your child, this is your wife, these are your family members. Appreciate them, they have lots of good qualities. If you look at the good qualities, then somehow the weaknesses, they're not that many. خيارهم في الجاهلية خيارهم في الإسلام. The best among them in Jahiliyyah are the best among them in Islam. إذا فقهوا, if they have understanding. You see, the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم, they accepted Islam. They accepted Islam and they brought lots of good to, you know, with them. Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه, he had lot of courage. Some people have courage. Courage is a good quality. So he accepted Islam and he brought courage to Islam. Why should we hide and pray? Let's pray in public. Let's be open. Sayyidina Uthman رضي الله عنه, he was very much modest. Haya. And haya is a good quality. He accepted Islam. So he brought that modesty with him. And he, you know, because of his understanding of Islam, that quality developed. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, generous, wealthy and generous. Generosity is a beauty, but it is more beauty in a wealthy person. Obviously, it is good for everybody. But if somebody has money and generosity, that is added beauty. Beauty plus. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a wealthy person, but he was also very generous. So he accepted Islam. He accepted Islam and he spent a lot of money buying slaves and freeing them. Buying slaves and freeing them. We cannot understand the importance of freeing a slave. You see, nowadays, unfortunately, there is slavery, although it is not declared. People say slavery is not there anymore. There is slavery. There are gangs. There are gangs which bring people from so many countries. You know, I know in some parts of the world, and these people, they work, you know, as laborers in factories, in farms, in fields, and sometimes in, walayyadhu billah, in fuhsh. They cannot escape. They cannot escape. They don't have life. They're just working. They cannot go anywhere. They cannot meet with anybody. They cannot go and see the family. Sometimes some people, they cannot see, talk to the family, they cannot phone the family. So basically, they don't have any rights whatsoever. Now imagine, obviously, such people are, you know, still there. Even in our times, even in the 21st century, there are thousands of people. They may not have a passport of a slave as such, but they are slaves. Imagine if you somehow, if you make some arrangement to free that person from that slavery, believe me, he will remember you until the last breath of his life. This person, he will remember you until he will die. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he used to free lots of slaves. So he has generosity, and that generosity, because of his understanding of Islam, he carried on, and that was a positive thing. So he bought lots of slaves and he freed them. الناس معادنكم معادن الذهب والفضة خيارهم في الجاهلية خيارهم في الإسلام إذا فقهوا. So this is to acknowledge the qualities Allah Azza wa Jalla has built in the human being. فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله. The nature, this is the nature upon which Allah has created people. Allah Azza wa Jalla has created people with certain nature. Somebody is generous, somebody has courage, somebody has wisdom, somebody is modest, somebody is very good in management. These are qualities, and somehow these qualities, they cannot be taught. They can be developed. They cannot be taught. Many people, that's why many people who do not learn, who do not have a formal education, still they will have these qualities. They have these qualities. In Bhopal, there was a big alim, Hazrat Maulana Imran Khan Sahab, Maulana Imran Khan Nadwi, rahimahullah. There is one of the greatest masajid of the entire, you know, Asia, which is Tajul Masajid. A very huge, massive masjid. Thousands of people can pray inside the masjid. And in the courtyard, Allah knows, probably 100,000. Without any exaggeration. Maulana Imran Khan Sahab, rahimahullah, Allah gave him many qualities. But one of his great qualities is management. He knew what to do, when to do, how to do. How to organize things. How to manage the affairs. So, Hazrat Mufti Sahab, Dawan Barkatuhu, he mentioned that there was ijtima'. He attended the ijtima'. Some people went from Hyderabad. So, you know, when you have ijtima, obviously, you will, if you can find some space, you are lucky. But because people from Hyderabad, they are nawabs, they are elite, they want to have their own rooms, right? So they went to Hazrat Maulana Imran Khan Sahib, rahimahullah, and said, we want to have a room. He said, yeah, people from Hyderabad, they are nawabs. So they need to have a room. Okay, no problem. Inshallah, you can have a room. Have you got 13 rupees? 13 rupees. Well, yes, we do have 13 rupees. Okay, please give me 13 rupees. I will give you the key of the room. And then he mentioned that inshallah, when you return the key, you will get 13 rupees back. When you give when you give me the key, you know, because once the ijtima' is over, everybody will leave. Once the ijtima', why do you have to go and bother and see Maulana Imran Khan Sahab again? I don't know Maulana Imran Khan Sahab anymore. I needed the key, so I went to see him. Now I just, you know, have to leave. So he said, inshallah, when you return the money, when you return the key, I will give you the money. And then he said, well, the actual cost of the key is 9 rupees. The actual cost of the key is 9 rupees. But it costs me about 4 rupees to go and bring the person who makes the key. So it is not only the key, but there is some more cost involved. We had a great pious person, Hazrat Naimullah Khan Sahab, who was Amir in Hyderabad. So he was going to Delhi. Maulana Imran Khan Sahab, rahimahullah, he used to know him well. So he made arrangement. Obviously, you know, at that time there was no WhatsApp to have up-to-date information. You only know that the train stops at Bhopal at this time, you know, the rough time, but you have to be there 1 hour before or 2 hours before, Allah knows. So he made arrangement to go and meet with him at the station. You see, this is love. When you have love, you make that arrangement. Otherwise, you don't have to go and see somebody at the station, because it's a huge, big station. You have thousands of people, and you have to go to the platform. Then you have to go, you know, which is which, where is he staying, and you have to find him exactly, and then somehow you have to excuse yourself in, and you'll have 5-10 minutes to see him, and then the train will leave. So he made arrangement to go to the airport, to the station, and he took with him some food. You know, you're traveling, have some food. He also took some ice. And ice, it used to be wrapped in a piece of, you know, cloth, so that it doesn't melt straight away. So he took with food, and because it is summer, he also took some ice. And because ice can melt, so it was wrapped. Now you are traveling, how you are going to make use of that ice? So he also had a small metal piece, so that you can use it to break the ice. He's going to see him for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes. There is no obligation whatsoever. But this is the foresight, that I'm going to give him this thing. How is he going to eat? You cannot just give food in somebody's hand. You have to give it in a plate, in a container. Then you have to give a spoon, give some water, so they can wash their hands. Well, once they wash their hands, they need some towel. He wants to have water. Well, you know, it's very hot. Let him have some ice. So it's not sufficient that you just give him some ice. How is he going to make use of that ice? So these are qualities people have. Maulana Imran Khan Sahab, rahimahullah, he was the Nazim of Nadwatul Ulama in Lucknow. Nadwatul Ulama is a big madrasa, big Darul Ulum. Alhamdulillah, I visited several times. You have thousands of students in the main campus. I don't know, probably 3,000-4,000 students in the main campus. And then they have branches. And if you collect the branches, probably 15,000-20,000. I don't know exactly. But even in the main campus, you have thousands of people. So he was the Nazim of Nadwatul Ulama. But he had his sheikh in Bhopal. Either his sheikh or a pious person whom he had a lot of respect, which is Hazrat Dhannemiya, rahimahullah, from Naqshbandi silsila. I'm not getting the name correct, but it is, yes, he is from Naqshbandi silsila. So what happened after the independence, all the when the English people, they came, they took all the awqaf. So all the awqaf, they became under the government. And many masajid and many madaris, they were funded by awqaf. So they had endowments. So you have these many shops, so all the revenue from that many shops will come to the masjid. You have these many farms, all the revenue from these many farms will come to the madrasa. So masajid were madaris, more or less they were financially self-sufficient. You don't have to go and collect money all the time. But English people, they are very clever. They thought that, well, if you want to stop, then you cut the financial support. So once there was no more Muslim government, many masajid were closed, many madaris were closed, and people did not know what to do. Obviously, there are hundreds of children studying, in fact, thousands of them. What are you going to do? Are you going to say that, well, you go and stay at home, or you know something about it? Tajul Masajid was a very big masjid. So, Hazrat Rahimahullah, he told all the madaris, bring all the children to this masjid. Inshallah, we will do something. So children from many, many masajid and the teachers from many masajid, many, many madaris, they came to Tajul Masajid. And Tajul Masajid was incomplete masjid. It was a masjid which was constructed by the Princess of Bhopal. She was a pious lady. So she was constructing the masjid. But somehow, once the government is gone, everything is stopped. So people, they used to say that you should not build a big masjid because it might never complete, because there was no hope whatsoever that that masjid will ever be completed, because it is a very huge and big masjid. So he told Maulana Imran Khan Sahib Rahimahullah that I have good faith in you, so please come to the masjid. Now, if you are a vice chancellor of a university and somebody is inviting to a primary school, what will you do? You know, usually people upgrade. You know, you are teaching in a primary school, now you want to become a head teacher, for example. You have, mashallah, you have been a head teacher for some time, you want to go to a secondary school. From secondary school, you want to go to college, university, you want to become a vice chancellor, and somehow if you become a minister, that is the best thing to do. Then you become Minister of Education. But if you are a vice chancellor of university and somebody is saying, you know, there is a nice primary school in Chicago, please come and teach here, that's not an easy thing to do. He was a Nazim of Nadhudul Ulama. But you see, this is the beauty of knowledge. People who have the ilm of knowledge, people who have the ilm of deen, they know what you are doing is not what matters. What matters is your intention. Your intention is to please Allah Azza wa Jal. Whether you do here, you do there. Because if you want to please Allah Azza wa Jal, you can be vice chancellor of university and please Allah Azza wa Jal. You want to please Allah Azza wa Jal, you can be a primary school teacher and you can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he left the Nizamat of Darul Uloom in Lucknow and he came to Bhopal. Now, for example, if you are a young alim, young graduate, and you have that opportunity to be a nazim of Nadhudul Ulama, can you ever leave? Very difficult, very difficult decision. Why you want to go and downgrade? You should be upgraded. But because people have respect for pious people, for mashayikh, so because he was a pious person, he said, well, you know, I have faith in you. And I hope that Allah will complete this masjid through you. Although, in terms of asbab, in terms of means, it was an almost impossible mission. So he left that job, he left that work, and he came to Bhopal. And he settled there. And alhamdulillah, because of his dua, he traveled all over India. He came to Hyderabad, he went to Bombay, he went to Calcutta, Delhi. And then he traveled to UK, probably US as well, South Africa, and he collected funds, and alhamdulillah, that masjid was completed. So people have good qualities, but you need people who can see those good qualities. You need people who can see the good qualities. Maulana Imran Khan Sahib, he had that good quality, that the masjid can be completed on his hand. But not everybody could see that. You needed somebody who could see that yes, he is capable of doing that. So if you can see the good qualities in people, then you can better use that good quality. You can encourage them, you can benefit from them. In the family, in the community, in the masjid, in our friendship, in our circles, in our environment, we have lots of good people around us. And these good people, they can benefit themselves, they can benefit their family, they can benefit their friend, they can benefit their masjid, their circle, their community, a lot. But you have to dig deep and you have to discover them. Annasu ma'adinu kama'adin al-dhahab wal-fidda. People are mines, like the mines of gold and silver, subhanAllah. Every hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it needs to be written with gold and silver. Even if you write with gold and silver, it is not sufficient. People are gold, like the golds of mind and silver. And sometimes I feel that hadith like this, which have universal wisdom, these hadith, they have universal wisdom. This is not only about Muslims. This is not only about the people who follow Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is acknowledging the good in everybody. So a hadith like this, they need to be shared with everybody, so that people know how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knows the human being. He knows the fitrah and the nature of human being. خِيَارُهُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَةِ خِيَارُهُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا فَقِهُ. The best among them in jahiliyyah are the best among them in Islam when they have understanding. May Allah give us tawfiq to learn from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah give us tawfiq to act upon the hadith. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.